ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் சாதனா ஃபியர்லெஸ்னஸ், ரைசிங் இன் ஹை லவ், ப்ரிப்பரேஷன் ஃபார் டிரான்சிஷன், ப்ரெசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
Today at Quiet Enum, October 3rd, Quiet a Day, we talked with our Mauritius Monastery. They're doing really well. The beautiful Panchamukha Ganapati Madhapam, which means meditation hall, has been completed. A gigantic fundraising program of 3 million rupees. And it's still going on. People are coming by, dropping off money that they have collected. For the spiritual park, open from 6 in the morning until 6 in the evening, 7 days a week, for the peoples of the beautiful island of Mauritius. But today has been a very interesting day. We helped our county with a $40 million application to the federal government by doing some color work for them. We inaugurated the Coconut Money Tree program, of which every member of our fellowship will have a personal endowment. And today we're designing, as our gift to the County of Kauai, banners and bumper stickers, which will appear at the Future Fair on October 10th. This is our service to the beautiful island upon which we live and thrive and have lived for over 30 years. Our island peoples are one family. We make no differences. We are all Kauaians. Have you ever listed your fears, made a list of your fears? Everybody has fears, and they're alone with their fears in their private moments. Write down your fears, what you fear might happen, or what you fear that did happen might happen again. Write them down. Most people have 2, 3, or 4 cherished fears, which hold them down in consciousness. These forebodings of the future, these forebodings of the present, are a result of not analyzing the fears. Write them down, look at them, and ask yourself, are these private fears? Are these self-created fears? Are they real fears? Like standing on the edge of a very tall building and looking down at the traffic, that is a very real fear. Swimming out in the ocean that is known for strong currents that will pull you out, that is a very realistic fear. But fearing that you might come home and your house had been burned down, or you might go out and have an automobile accident, or that your child might get run over by a car, or get beat up by an emotional teacher in school. These fears can be handled and dealt with, and you are the only one to do that. Because often we bring what we feared upon us because we create in our mind. Our mind creates. It's a great creative computer. Whatever we think, we're using that prana within the mind, and we are creating. We're constantly creating with every thought, with every feel that we have, with every action that we make, we are creating. So, what you fear, you may bring upon yourself. Reverse the process. You've written down your fears, which are realistic, underline and which are not realistic, cross out. This and only this you can do in your private moments. But you want to create. Write a positive statement on top of every fear that you have crossed out. A positive statement. And you will be creating the positive instead of the negative. This, only you can do this. Nobody can. And therefore, when you have successfully done this, you will close off the fear chakra. Which those of you who understand the chakras, that's the chakra way below the Muladhara. It contains fear. And all the apprehensions. That's why competitive sports is not good to participate in, because it keeps the fear chakra churning. And for those who understand these things, mystically inclined people, the fear chakra spins in the opposite direction than the memory chakra just above it, the Muladhara. You tear yourself apart with your fears. So now we have a sadhana to do. I would suggest that if you do have fears, click the button and click it again and listen to me all over again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times, and you will have a much better life. And those of you who have no fear, the fearless ones out there in cyberspace, pass this knowledge on to others. It's yours for the using. Well, I am seeing you in our familiar place, our cyberspace, through the internet highways, in this beautiful, beautiful day, October 3rd. It's sun 4 here at Kwa'arinam, and it's a Saturday. I'll always think of you, your beautiful faces, Indivar, Deva Gayatri, Jiva and all the Silpis, Ahila Devi, Thanabalan, Appasamy, and all the many others. I am having your darshan. Oh, there's Sadhanatha. And the Dandapanis, well, everyone's coming in and tuning in. This is so wonderful. I see Shiva in you because God's energy in you is the energy that moves your body, propels your thoughts, comes right from God. I am seeing God, his many faces, through cyberspace. Today at Kwa'arinam, October 7th, Sun 1, which is our Monday, might not be yours, but here we are. We finished a 3-day retreat where we have reflected upon what we did, what we are going to do, and if it's the right thing that we want to remember in our past. Beautiful. Homa today, invoking Lord Hanuman to carry Iravan Temple, 3,200,000 pounds of stone from Bangalore, India, to the Garden Island, Kauai, and place it gently down upon the foundation, which we hope to be built next April or May. Well, we have a lot to be grateful for. We're grateful for health. Grateful for happiness. Grateful for sadness, because sadness teaches us the wonderful message. Message not to do over again what made us sad, or to look at life in a different way. If we understand reincarnation, if we understand the law of karma, that we send out prana from ourselves and it manifests good, bad, mixed, then comes back to us If it's involved with other people, it comes back to us for other people. If it is involved with animals, it comes back to us for animals. If it is involved with situations, we create situations we have to face in the future. We accept karma and accept reincarnation. We can rationalize many of the experiences of life. Well, we have a wonderful invitation, and I'm sending our Acharya Palaniswami to a conference on AIDS sponsored by the Ford Foundation, and he will collaborate with Ma Jaya Shakti Bhagavati, a worker for AIDS patients who has an ashram who handles the sadness of the AIDS patients. But we have a different look at AIDS. We look at any terminal disease where you know that the end is in view, you are blessed. Any terminal disease such as cancer or old age, we're all born with a terminal disease, and that's death. We don't know when it's going to happen. But when your doctor tells you, or when you intuitively know that it's going to happen, you are blessed to know when the door is open to go into the next world. Therefore, you can prepare yourself by thinking good thoughts, by mending old hurts and fears. No one who knows that they're going to die, and that's the D word, that's a dirty word, that they're going to make a transition into a new life that is beyond this life, that's a happy life, that's a free life, because it's a life that's been prepared for. How do you prepare to move on? Well, how do you prepare to move from an old house into a new house? There are a lot of things you have to throw away. And maybe it hurts to throw them away, but they don't fit into the new house because you're buying new furniture. You become nouveau rich and you're not carrying the past behind you. Everyone is blessed who has a terminal illness, and they know the day is drawing near to move into a new house with new furniture and old friends. Who are the old friends? Those that have gone on before you. They will meet you there. They'll meet you there, mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and aunts and uncles and friends of all kinds will be there to greet you. So we look at terminal illness from the Hindu point of view, from the point of view of Sanatana Dharma, as a blessing, a great reward of some kind, a reward that you do not hang on the wall and barely look at after you have hung it on the wall, but a reward that brings you the energy and brings you the inspiration to pass through that door out of the old house into the new house. After all, we are not the physical body. We live in it, but we are not it. We are a soul that's pure, untouched, unfettered, unmarred, unscarred. We're a pure soul. Somehow or other, and don't ask why, living in a physical body surrounded by emotions, some of which we can control and others which we can't control, with an intellect maybe clouded with opinionated knowledge of the opinions of others that may be right and may be wrong, but that's the intellect. But the superconscious, the intuitive mind of the soul, is released when we prepare for the transition to move on into that new house. So, anybody out there in cyberspace with Ma Jaya Shakti Bhagavati, great soul, dedicated her life to helping those make the transition, cross that bridge, if you're listening or watching, clean up the past. Don't drag old things along with you. Write everything down on a piece of paper. burn it up and let it go. For some, it might take 1,000 pieces of paper, others only 500, and maybe others who've lived a really promiscuous life, 5,000 pieces of paper, 8.5 by 11, and sentences very close together, but do it anyway. Clear the emotion out of the experience, because we are here to have experiences. And we are here to understand the experience, but how to take the emotion of the experience out of the experience so that we can understand the experience is called the Vasana Daha Tantra. Write the experience down as many times as it takes and burn it up. Watch the flame come up. You will know that you are released, and pretty soon you will write the same experience you cried about. You'll write the same experience you were angry about. You'll write the same experience that frustrated you, and you will have no frustration, no anger, no tears. It'll look at you as if you were reading somebody else's life. That is the way to unleash the baggage. Let the sandbags go out of the balloon so that you can soar. I'm seeing you in cyberspace. So many faces. Well, there's Eileen from Kalaheo. Aloha, Eileen. And there's Tanabalan again. And Jiva in Bangalore. Oh, so many wonderful faces. I'll be seeing you in cyberspace in our very familiar place. Through your computer screen. We love you and know that you love everyone. Today at Kwai Adinam is October 8th. Well, we have a wonderful pilgrim here, a Sri Lankan retired devotee who has a pilgrimage route. Once a year, he takes a 5-week pilgrimage, alternating the halves of the planet. First half, he goes around to all the gorgeous, fantastic, huge South Indian Tamil temples. And then the next year, he visits the Tamil temples through Europe, some of our temples in Germany, and throughout the United States, and visits us here at Kwai Adinam. This is his third visit here, and we always look forward to seeing him. He's very uplifting, and of course, a pilgrimage carries the Spirit of God with him. It's easier to see God in a pilgrim than anyone else. You don't have to look very hard. Well, our Madhavasi, our swamis, our monks, have flown now from India to Malaysia. And they're in Sangapatani, that's near Penang. They'll be there for several days. Then two will return here in Paramachari Bodhinatha, Brahmachari Nilakanta Velan, we'll fly to the beautiful garden island of Mauritius, where we have just finished building the Mahaganapati Madhapam. That is a very big, almost 3-story building, a meeting hall for lectures, singing, dancing for the peoples of the country of Mauritius. They've raised nearly 3 million rupees, and that is a lot there, to build this beautiful edifice in our spiritual park of about 11 acres of land where the river meets the ocean. Beautiful place for rest, spirituality, and quiet for all the religions of the country. Well, we began on a momentous task of creating 26 CDs of the 365 daily lessons of Merging with Shiva. What a task. But we've already finished about 25 of them, and we're on our way to completion. This is a new series of CDs called Gurudeva's Talking Books. This means you can play the CD and also read the book at the same time. Voice is very important because voice and energy, just prana, conveys meaning. We can look at the pages of the book and everyone understands sentences and words differently one from another. But hearing the voice, you tune into the Akasha. The inner space is something like cyberspace, where the experience that produced the words in the first place is recorded. And there's a oneness that's developed, and your own superconsciousness, your innate intelligence, your intuition, therefore draws on that original experience that is being explained in these 365 daily lessons. You know, schools these days are thinking about going into cold teaching, putting the child in front of a computer and let the computer become the teacher. What kind of a person will that produce? Well, we have yet to find out. Warm teaching is verbal teaching, conveying knowledge from person to person, teacher to pupil. Intelligence is conveyed from one human being to another human being who triggers off the innate intelligence within that person he's hopefully teaching. We want to talk a little bit about love to all of you in cyberspace. There are two kinds of love, high love and low love. Love of God, love of people is high love. Love which forms attachment is low love. Brings hurt, brings pain, stimulates emotions, stimulates the physical body, but it is not lasting and should not be called love. Many people have said, and have heard it said, that they have fallen in love. In 51 years of my ministry, I have never heard anyone say, I have risen in love. Maybe they have risen in love and sustained that relationship for a lifetime, because I know many, many married couples who celebrate their 40th and their 50th wedding anniversary. Let's think about it. If you fall in love, what falls? Everything falls. Thoughts, feelings, emotions. If you rise in love, everything rises. Thoughts, feelings, and emotions. So be careful. Watch your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. To really know a person, to really love that person has to have the same thoughts, the same feelings, the same emotions, the same interests, the same hobbies as yourself, preferably the same religion. Oh, absolutely the same religion. Otherwise, there's nothing in common. When religion comes into play and becomes an issue, which it especially does when the first children are born. How shall we raise the baby? Then the battle begins. Parents on both sides say, has to be my religion. Then the tussle begins. Then they say, well, we're going to let our child choose his own religion when he grows up. That means he doesn't have a religion until he grows up. Growing up is one of the major emphases of every religion in the world, is to guide somebody to grow up properly. I had the pleasure once in Trinidad, Tobago, talking to the head of the school system. He said, without religion in the schools, without morals in the schools, we are raising educated criminals. What is religion? Many people these days poo-poo religion. Religion is the repetition of the law of how to live a good life. And a good life brings success, lasting happiness, faith, joy, and all the wonderful qualities and gifts that life has to offer. Let's not look askance at religion. Whatever the religion might be, it is worthwhile. Think about love. High love or low love? Either go up or down. No sideways. No forward or back. It's either up or down. High love, which is blending of emotions and thoughts and feelings. Low love, which is only carnal. Maybe it doesn't start out that way, but ends that way. Because the thoughts don't blend. Maybe the feelings did once, but only when the thought blends and the interest blends is it lasting. Well, we don't know how we got into that subject. I think I'm talking to somebody out there in cyberspace. The numbers on our cyberspace counting machine are increasing in listening to Today at Quiet Enum. We're always very happy to meet and greet you. And pass this information on to your children. This is good, solid information. Many people say, oh, my children aren't interested. They won't listen. Pass it on anyway, even though they're not listening. They are hearing, and it goes into their subconscious mind. You are planting seeds, and it will mature in their years to come.